RKC is proud to present the fifth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 41st episode, The Roaring Tide, Part 1.
The name's Harry Flynn. I'm a private eye. More importantly, I'm a private eye who hasn't gotten a lick of work in the past month. For 27 days, the phones on my and my secretary's desks have been used so little that they've become covered with a thick and almost impermeable layer of dust and cobwebs. I walked up to my office door, keys in hand, ready for yet another do-nothing day. As I walked in, I stepped on some old newspapers that hadn't quite reached the basket. Didn't seem to matter. No need in making this place presentable. Besides, I had told Deborah not to come in until I had some work going, an offer she had latched onto a little too readily. The chair creaked under my weight. Looks like I had gained a few pounds in this last... what day is this? Could it be? Are my ears playing tricks on me? I looked to my phone, and sure enough, the phone was ringing, the tremors from its vibrations kicking up weeks' worth of grime and dust into the air. I gingerly picked up the receiver and held it to my mouth. Harry Flynn Detective Agency. Is this the number you were looking for?
Oh, yes! Thank goodness you answered! I need your help now more than ever!
What is it? Has there been a murder? A robbery?
Well, no, not exactly.
Mid-level corporate espionage?
It's my triple-decker red velvet-like cake!
Come again?
My cake! Someone stole my recipe! You see, I'm a world-renowned championship baker.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We don't take food cases. Personal policy.
But I'll pay you 100!
The number she was about to say didn't matter. If anything, it would have made me do little more than drool over myself. I went over to my liquor cabinet to pour myself a little bit of mid-morning encouragement. Well, that's odd. Maybe it's... Nope, not there either. Ooh, I know. Oh no. There's none here. I don't have any alcohol. I don't... No! I ripped the room apart, looking for any sort of alcohol or alcohol substitute. Pen ink, lamp oil, low-grade car fuel. Jesus, lady's persistent. Look, lady, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. I do not care about your cake.
Babbling about.
You're not the world championship baker whose triple-decker red velvet delight cake recipe's been stolen?
What? No, Harry. It's me, Murdoch.
Sorry. I'm going through a bit of alcohol withdrawal. You see, it's been nearly 10 hours since my last drink and... Lemons. Murdoch, you see those lemons?
Flynn?
Where did they get so many lemons?
Flynn, focus. We need your help.
Can I have a drink?
Have a drink, just head over.
Before I even really knew what was going on, I was in my car and heading down to the station. I don't actually remember using a door. There's a good probability that I just jumped through the window. When I walked into the station, the usual gang of law enforcement types was there. Spinelli, Murdoch, Spumosa, and Rogers, along with a female officer that seemed vaguely familiar, and a whole cadre of fresh-faced cadets eagerly standing by. Those poor saps.
Hey, Harry. Before we get down to business, I'd like to introduce you to some of our new police officers. You remember Officer McMillan, right?
Mr. Flynn, pleasure once again.
McMillan, haven't you been here the whole time?
No, sir. Me and my partner Bernadette were sent up to the State's Police Academy to train some youngsters. She's still up there. You remember her?
Oh, yeah. She's the one we busted Giovanni with, of course. A good lady.
Harry, Giovanni's not a lady.
So, Spumosa's still Spumosa, I see.
Yeah, nothing we could do about that.
Yeah. Anyhow, the academy was good, but I missed the beat.
So she came back and was kind enough to bring all these new recruits with her. Now, without any further ado, these are Officers Carson, McKenna, Wendrick, Tamlin, Meyer, Zay, and Muldoon.
Yo.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Snaps for the caps.
Muldoon's the zany one.
That's fantastic. Could I have a drink now?
Oh, you mean this?
Murdoch produced a medium-sized bottle of what looked like some high-end gin from a pocket inside his jacket. It wouldn't have mattered if it were 2-month-aged scotch mixed with old paint. I still would have appreciated the sight of it. I went to swipe it from his hands.
Not so fast, Flynn. Remember that offer I gave you about a month back?
Yeah, what of it?
How about I give you this whole bottle of gin in exchange for coming onto the police force?
It's tempting. Very tempting, but no dice.
Are you sure? We have some tonic in the back if you say yes.
Forget it, Robert. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can make me stand on my laurels for this one.
Look, Flynn, either you work for us, or I take this gin and pour it down one of the drains.
Give me the gin! I acted on impulse, flinging myself at Murdoch in the gin. Bribing me with alcohol is one thing. Threatening to waste perfectly good, drinkable, top-shelf product is another thing entirely. Before most people could get the bottle open, I had it empty.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we have ourselves a police detective. That act of willful volition just signed your contract, Flynn.
I felt a damn fool for that moment of intoxicary weakness. But when you look at it, some petty cash is better than no cash at all. Besides, it seemed like Murdoch was lightening up, so why the hell not? Oh, all right, Damn it. You got me. Excuse me. Let me just pick up my dignity here.
Flynn, you haven't had any dignity since as long as I've known you.
Well, that was an abrupt change in attitude.
Oh, cut it out, Flynn. You and I both know we can't stand each other. I was just trying to schmooze up to you until you were on our payroll. Now that you're on it, it's back to the same old, same old.
So that heartwarming bit a few weeks back?
All a carefully and expertly, if I do say so myself, attempt to get you on board. Here's an advance on your first pay.
He slapped a wad of bills in my hand rather violently. This complete 180 for Murdoch was, well, not shocking, but definitely unexpected. On the other hand, it felt nice holding money again. I started to count the wad of bills he shoved in front of me.
It's more money than rule breakers like you deserve anyway.
Rules were put in place to be sidestepped, Murdoch. You and I both know that. Or do you think I should talk about that one time a while back when you...
That one time was a momentary weakness in character, and you know it.
A one-time weakness that almost got someone killed.
Ooh.
Look, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's sort of a developing situation, and the bickering... Well, the bickering isn't solving anything.
Fair enough. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, it looks like there's been a murder down by the pier.
Where the watermelons grow.
Yes, yes. Now, Detective, you and a cadre of two policemen... Persons. Police persons. You and a cadre of two police persons will go down to the pier to investigate and report back to the police station by no later than midnight tonight, unless given any other advisement from Spinelli or myself. Is that clear?
As a piece of boiled ice, sir.
Can you boil ice?
Yes, Spinelli. That's water.
Oh. Anywho, I'll be accompanying you, Harry, seeing as this is your first mission as a police operative and all.
Fine. Just as long as old Happy here doesn't come along with us.
Fine by me.
All right, let's see. McMillan, you want to feel work so badly, you come along.
Yes, sir.
Okay, who else? Wendrick?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okie dokie, then. McMillan, you ride with me, and Wendrick, you hop in with Flynn.
Let's roll out.
Flynn, before you go, there's one thing I'd like to say.
Yeah?
Welcome aboard.
Murdoch grinned a rather malignant grin at me as I left. There's the Murdoch I know and loathe. Officer Wendrick and I hopped in my car and waited for Spinelli to lead the way down to the pier. The kid and I sat in silence so awkward you could cut it with a cheese wire. So, got a first name, Wendrick?
It's Astoria.
Astoria? What made you want to be a cop, Astoria?
Geez, I don't know. A childhood inclination for justice, I assume. Probably more than uniform, though. It's a neat uniform.
To each his own.
So, what made you want to be a PI, Mr. Flynn?
I'd rather not say. And there went that conversation. Wendrick seemed like a nice kid. A little fidgety and a tad bit unsure of herself, but nice. We got down to the city's pier at breakneck speeds. Spinelli came out first, looking around as if he had misplaced something.
Where is that...
Oh, boy!
What is... Oh, there we are. Found the body, everybody! I found the body!
Spinelli pulled back a tarp to reveal a man in blue coveralls. Dead, of course, with a tin washtub full of concrete attached to his feet.
Well, what have we got, Chief?
You'd call me Chief. You know, it's been nearly a month and I still haven't gotten over...
Focus!
Sorry. A fisherman at the wharf netted this guy earlier today. Seems he was a local fishmonger who disappeared about 2 weeks back.
I bet the fisherman was disappointed when he found out it wasn't the catch he was hoping for.
Catch he was hoping for. That was pretty good.
Yes, well, it looks like there's been a fair amount of water damage, which means he was down there for a while.
I don't get it, Chief. Why would someone even consider doing this?
Oh, just for the halibut.
I'm sorry,
everybody. They come and go.
Were there any witnesses?
We were only able to find one, but I don't think he'll be able to help all that much.
Why not?
1 minute. Hey, Bruno!
A large, rotund, and hairy man, with a mustache so coarse and bristly it could be used as a comb for other lesser hair, walked over to us from a nearby monger cart.
Bruno here claims to see everything, we think.
You think? How come you don't know? Oh, good. Romanian.
We think he can understand English, but not speak it. It's an odd situation.
One could almost say it was...
One more fish pun out of you, and I'm gonna punch you square in the mouth.
Well, all right.
What are we going to do about this, Chief?
Ask Detective Flynn. He's in charge.
Well, Flynn, what's the next move?
Yeah, what are we going
to
do?
All right. You two take the Romanian back with you to the police station. Go with Commissioner Spinelli.
Commissioner.
McMillan, you look into information about the deceased. What's his name, where he mongered, and so on. Wendrick, you interrogate the Romanian. See how that goes. I'm going to do my own personal recon work, and it has to be secret. All right, everybody roll out. Spinelli's car sped off, which gave me free range with a pocket full of money to hit up Glenn's. What? It's for work. I detect better when I'm drunk anyway.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Roaring Tide Part 1, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Bawk, 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 bawk! Bawk, 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 bawk!
That's right! Your ears do not deceive you, fair listeners! The Greater Allentown All Chicken Orchestra is back! And balkier than ever! Ha ha ha! Their newest record, The Chickens Balk the Classics, conducted by H. Renston Unengrafe, is by far their best work to date! You heard it here! Chickens balking balk! Good lord, you people pay me just barely enough to degrade myself. This is most undoubtedly the work that chickens will be known for. But don't take my word for it. Just listen to some of these highly paid testimonials.
When I come home from a long day's work at a high-stress job, nothing relaxes me more than the serene yet powerful strains of classical music. However, my rural upbringing leaves me feeling empty and hollow if I were not to hear some sort of barnyard rustle in my day-to-day life. Well, now, thanks to the Greater Allentown All Chicken Orchestra, I don't have to choose!
As a scholar of classical music at an Ivy League school, I must say the Greater Allentown All Chicken Orchestra has made great strides in the field of mediocre,
amazing, good quality music.
Never in all my years has such a substandard,
good product,
has affronted my ears. I find this recording
amazingly enjoyable. Thank you, Singing Chickens.
Once again, my chicken's egg production has skyrocketed.
The number is 1555 Bok Bok. That's 1555 Bok Bok. And if you call now, we'll throw in the Greater Allentown All Chicken Orchestra waddles and croons. The Greater Allentown All Chicken Orchestra, conducted by H. Renston Unengrafe, roosted by Farmer McGrady. Call now! The Greater Allentown All Chicken Orchestra is not to be held responsible if record has vicious egg residue smeared on or around it. Not available in the states of Vermont, Texas, New Hampshire, or the province of Papua New Guinea.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Hey, Ben. Another gin and juice over here.
Got into a fight with your liver, Harry?
No, just celebrating the fact that I can pay for every drink I'm having tonight. A rare development.
Oh, that's great. You want to pick up your tab?
What, are you kidding me? I'm not made of money. Ben scowled away, muttering something that vaguely sounded like an old Santerian curse at me. I didn't pay much heed. Suddenly, I heard something from the end of the bar.
Hey!
That voice. Those voices. I decided to edge my way down to where the vocal annoyance was issuing forth. There, at the end of the bar, was a face I knew all too well, and a face I was vaguely acquainted with. Deborah, the maitre d' from Giovanni's restaurant?
Hey, I'm Robbie Toot.
Harry, what's the matter? Did you run out of your office liquor?
No. I mean, yes. Look, that's beside the point. What are you doing here? And more importantly, why does it have to be at my bar?
Well, I was treating myself to a nice fancy dinner after saving up a meager salary you give me for a week to week, and I struck up a conversation with this cutie here. Turns out we have a lot in common.
Yeah, we both have voices that have been deemed socially unacceptable. Robbie Toots.
Boy, Deborah, you have a thing for the weird ones.
Yeah, I'm sort of a psycho chaser.
Well, that still doesn't answer my second question. Why on all of God's green earth did you guys decide to come to Glenn's?
Because I know the proprietor. Hey, Benny!
Hey, Robbie Toots!
Childhood friendship, Robbie Toots.
Ben.
Well, that's just great.
I know. Ain't love grand?
She said love. I'm not yet ready to make that particular commitment. Robbie Toots!
I love how he says his name after everything. It's like a catchphrase.
Gee, that's great. Well, I'm gonna go now.
All right, just call me when you get work. That's a relief. Now, what were we talking about?
Hey, we were talking about your hobbies.
I can't believe I'm even thinking the statement, but I've never been so happy to get out of a bar. With my pockets now emptied and my whistle now thoroughly wetted, I decided to head back to the station to see how things were going with the case. All right, Murdoch. Hey, where's Murdoch?
Oh, he had to leave. Something about his wife or some such. Hey, Harry, I'm going to go upstairs, catch up on some work. You got a hold on the situation, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, fine.
Good. Hey, tell me how it all works out.
Hey, watch where you're... Oh, Commissioner, I'm so sorry.
Whoopsie doodle. Guess some things won't ever change, huh?
Spinelli walked upstairs awkwardly, taking special care not to bump into anyone or anything, and at least once that I could see, he almost fell off the banister. Meanwhile, I walked over to Officer McMillan, who seemed engrossed in a mountain of papers.
Hello, Detective. How did the recon mission go?
The what? Oh, yes. It was very fruitful, with just the subtlest hint of juniper berries and a garnish of...
Is that gin and juice?
All right, McMillan, enough chit-chat. What have you got for me?
Well, it looks like the deceased name is Fred Arberton. He was in a fishmongering business with a guy named... Carter Ipsen. Sweet, you know how they are. Questioned him over the phone, couldn't get a word out of him. The two of them mongered on the south side of the pier.
South side of the pier, where the water
melts. Esmeralda, go back to your office.
Down by the bay.
No! Sorry. She's just been getting to me.
That's fine. She has it affecting a lot of people. Good work, officer. Wendrick?
Yes, sir?
How goes it with your assignment?
Well... He just keeps waving his arms around, pointing at things on his face.
Sounds like he's choking. Looks to me like he's trying to describe what somebody looked like.
Maybe the killer, sir?
No. Are you crazy? However... I've got it. Maybe he's describing the killer.
I just said that.
Oh, kid, don't be jealous. It takes years of training in the detecting arts to become as astute at observation as I am.
You just knocked my coffee off my desk and onto your leg.
Duly noted. And it burns.
You want a towel or something?
No, too proud for that. What we need to do for Bruno here is get him someone who could, oh, I don't know, draw out what he's gesturing so we could identify the perp on the picture alone. Some sort of an artist. But we don't have the time for a full-blown painting.
What about a rough doodle?
Too simple.
A dagger type?
There's no time. What we need is a
sketch.
Roger stood up from the seat he was apparently dejectedly sitting at, with what looked to be a renewed hope and zest for life.
I said, do you need someone to sketch?
Yeah, sketch is just a ticket. Do you know anyone in the department who can sketch? Rogers, time is of the essence.
I can sketch pretty well, and fast, too.
Oh, really? Well, then, why don't you show us your stuff? He seemed to produce a sketch pad and pencil out of thin air, and in little under 3 minutes, he had reproduced a perfect sketch of American Goth, expressions on the face and everything.
Ooh!
Oh,
very nice.
That's nice. You even got the dude.
That looks nice.
That's pretty good, Rogers. Why don't you give this a whirl?
Oh, I'll not only give this a whirl, I'll send it into the stratosphere. So, big forearms, okay, no, not big forearms, not so fast, alright, I'm going to need some time with this one.
That's alright, Rogers, besides, I'm going to do some recon work.
Again?
You just got back.
Hey, don't question the boss.
You're not our boss. Spinelli is.
Oh, since when have we started storing jelly in the cupboards?
You know what I mean. I'll be back in a few minutes. McMillan, what's the address for Ipsen? I want to ask him a few questions.
617 Downtree Lane.
Thanks. Wendrick, you doing anything?
Not at this moment, sir.
Come on. You never know when you'll need police backup. We left McMillan with her pile of papers, Rogers with a vehemently gesturing Romanian, and Spinelli covered in what looked to be month-old homemade jam. Before Wendrick could get out two words edgewise, we were there. Nice little log cabin just a block off the wharf. Cute place. Personally, I hate cute. Alright, you stay here. If I need any help, I'll signal for you. You got it?
Got it.
I walked up the cobblestone pathway to the handmade door, with a doily on it that read, "It's hard to be humble when you're Swedish." Ugh. They're beyond cute. They're kitsch.
Hello? Who's there, please?
The man who answered the door was a 6'4" barrel-chested behemoth with almost platinum blonde hair and electric blue eyes. He talked with an accent so thick you could cut it with a cheese wire. No. Wait, I've already said that. His accent was so thick that it...
Hello? Are you going to keep staring at my face, or do you have something to say to me?
It was at this moment that I did what I usually do. I panicked. Hi, my name is Glenn Glanson, and I just wanted to drop by and say hello.
You're not one of them coppers, are you?
Heavens to Betsy, no. Just a friendly Swedish neighbor come over to have some... Damn it, what do Swedes eat? Strudel.
Well, why didn't you just say so? Come on in, friend. Greta! The strudel!
Framed in the doorway was a beautiful Swedish bombshell, 5'11", with long blonde hair, piercing blue eyes, and apparently a shiner. She looked at her husband in fear, then to me as if to say with her eyes, get out while you still can.
Oh, just ignore Greta. So what can I do for you, Mr. Glanson?
Oh, I was just wondering if you had subscribed to the Swedish Quarterly, all the news of Sweden, just 5 cents.
All right, friend, you can stop right there.
What do you mean?
And drop the phony baloney accent. It's an insult to Swedes everywhere.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, now that's just Irish. Now, first off, if there was such a magazine as Swedish Quarterly, I'd already be subscribed to it. Secondly, strudel is a dish that originated in the Habsburg Empire, which Sweden was never a part of. Hoisted by your own petard.
All right, look. I'm a police detective, and I
told those folks down at the cop shop I didn't want to talk to any cops.
All right, each man is allowed to his opinion. Allow me, however, to make this rebuttal. Before he could respond, I was off like a rocket to the car, attempting to signal the new kid, Wendrick. Wendrick, start up the car! But while the door was in my reach, I felt something hard hit the back of my head, and I was out. Damn. I should really start wearing a helmet.
Will Harry make it out of the kitschy Swedish house? What secrets do the Swedish possess that keep them from talking to the cops? Will Rogers finish his sketch in time? How is Deborah and Robbie Toots' date going? We'll find out next week on The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Roaring Tide, Part 1, was written by Lucas Thomas Hutchie. Our cast today was Brandy George as Officer Famosa, Officer Carson, Chicken, Businesswoman, and Deborah. Kara Medwick as Officer Wendrick, Rhodes Scholar, and Chicken. Christopher Gatbo as Officer Muldoon, Chicken, Voiceover, Ben, and Officer Rogers. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn, Officer Meyer, and Chicken. Drake Nestor as Murdoch, Officer Zay, Commercial Announcer, and Robbie Toots. Jennifer Momenzada as Distressed Woman, Officer McMillan, and Chicken. Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Commissioner Spinelli, Chicken, Farmer, and Carter Ibsen. And Samuel Groom as Officer McKenna, Bruno, and Chicken. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci. As performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet, Terrence Karn on accordion, and Luis Obregon on viola. Sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.